of the Fly. Welcome to the Deal with It podcast.
Hey, everyone. It's Andy and Jolene here with you. And we also have our special guest today, Alex Stein.
Hey, yay. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Who's also our producer. You're on our podcast every single time.
Yes, yes.
Alex Stein, every single time.
Hey.
Ooh.
That's going to be a t-shirt.
Yeah, I love it.
I've never been on it. I have one t-shirt.
So this is a special episode. So we'll be interviewing Alex about therapy. And we have a little task we're going to give him. We're going to dive into his, just into his life and maybe a little challenge. But for those of you who, maybe this is your first time listening, my name is Andy Erickson. I have Marfan syndrome. I also have scoliosis and suffer from chronic pain. Deal with it.
Yay. And I am your other host, Jolene Lunzer, and I have depression, anxiety, OCD, and a little bit of addiction.
Ooh.
Deal with it.
I am the body.
And I'm the brain.
Yep, we cover it all. This is the place to go.
We like to people to be able to listen and to come here and to open up and deal with whatever they're dealing with because we're all dealing with stuff.
Exactly. So this is a safe. This is a safe place.
It's a safe space, Andy. maybe not that safe.
No, unless okay. There's a fly in here.
Unless there's a fly. I literally almost broke my window. We're about to kill this fly.
Chasing him.
Because he ruined my LaCroix.
Landed on your LaCroix. You're like, I got to get a new one.
It was almost done anyways. But the OCD in me is like, because I was told a long time ago, and I never Googled this, that a fly, when it lands on something, it vomits. It goes number twosies and number onesies. Is that true?
Every time it lands, that's a lot of pressure.
I know. How could it produce that much?
And that's true with mosquitoes. When they land on you, they spit. And that's what causes like the redness and all that
Why
inflammatory.
They to be
spit
so rude?
On you. I don't know. They marked it. I don't know.
But is that true about the fly, producer Alex?
I thought flies and mosquitoes were the same.
The same thing?
I think so. They're cousins.
They're cousins. Identical
so
cousins.
So I am right now, the reason I remembered to talk about this was because I got a whiff of it. I'm drinking my first kombucha. And I was going to like wait to try it on the episode and then we could all experience it. But I tasted it. I picked the pineapple peach kind because I heard that's like, I guess, one of the better flavors. I'm sure there are lots of people opinionated about kombucha.
Oh, I'm sure. People are passionate about that.
Totally. And I wanted to know like what... if any listeners like drink it and know if it's good for you. I've heard it's good for you and I know I could just Google this, but if anyone has any personal experience with it, because you know what? It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Really?
No, it's really not. Like it tastes like sour, ooh, like Pop Rocks and medicine.
That actually is a really good description.
Pop Rocks, you can kind of feel it.
If it tasted a little bit more like Robitussin, I'd be down. It's just not enough. There's not enough tussin.
It's not smooth enough.
It doesn't have that smooth Robitussin. Just
coats the throat.
Well, plus I was told by a friend that it is bad for alcoholics to drink, or not bad, but it can trigger you if you are dealing with alcoholism, drinking kombucha.
I feel buzzed.
Do you?
Like
is
a
it,
little
Is there alcohol in it or something?
Yeah, there's a little bit.
Fermented. So it like tastes fermented. I don't know why things should ferment.
But there's alcohol in like Sprite
a
and 7-Up.
A tiny, tiny, tiny bit, yeah.
That's why I don't drink soda.
Yep. No
what?
Soda for you.
No,
and I'm also dealing with, so that was the first thing is.
Yeah, what are you dealing with, Andy?
I had a bloody nose last night that lasted like an hour and a half or maybe even 2 hours.
Do you get bloody noses?
Yes, because I'm on blood thinner, so I get them a lot. And normally they're super manageable where it can be bad, right? I definitely need to, like, hold my nose. I couldn't just, like, oh, a couple drops and I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And I get them, like, on airplanes, and then that sucks because you're stuck in your chair and you have to kind of just – I always bring tissues with me and have them with me. But last night it was just so – like, it wouldn't stop. I think because it was so hot in our house that, like, the blood wasn't congealing. So it was just really, it was just scary and just awful. And if my mom's listening, she's just me freaking out. Just like, oh, go to the doctor. I was like, what am I, like, I have a bloody nose.
She's going to fly here from Minnesota.
And there's a fly, yeah.
And our roommate said, why don't you tilt your head back?
Tilt your head back. And I was like, I've had bloody noses since I was like,
isn't that an old school thing?
Yeah, everyone thinks that because in movies you do. And I think more and more people are learning that you don't. But then the blood just goes down your throat.
Ugh.
So you lean forward so it gets stuck up in your nose. And you just hold it. And that's my trick is to literally, it's not even a trick. You just hold it for as long as it takes.
You hold your nose?
I just lean forward and I hold my nose. Sometimes for an hour is what I did last night.
Because you can't just let it leak all out.
Nope.
No, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah. Because someone posted the other day asking for techniques. And I was like, that's what I do. But there's different like things you can put in your nose, like creams or like to put an ice pack on it. So if anyone has any tips for fixing bloody noses,
send it to Andy.
Yep. The world of bloody noses. I'm just glad it hasn't happened in like an audition or while I'm on stage.
I remember growing up, there was always kids in school. There was always certain kids that they got bloody noses. And I would think, gosh, how is this happening? And also, I was a little jealous because it was attention. What? Well, they got attention, which I liked. Right. And they got to go to the nurse's office. And I don't know about in your school, but our nurse's office was the most rad place ever because there were beds. It was nice and cool. Mm-hmm. Every time I went there, they were like, oh, you need to lay down. You look sick because I'm so pale. So they always thought I was sick. So it was like my home away from home. Yeah.
Oh,
they got
God.
Me. They got me. I got to leave and go home when I wasn't sick because they were like, oh, my God, you're so pale. And I'm like, I know, right?
I should lay down. Go.
But really, this is how I look every day. But yeah, I would get jealous of the nosebleed kids because
they got to go to the nurse's.
They had so much attention. And I was like, things are happening in your body. And like, you're making a statement.
You're
and I'm
becoming
doing nothing.
A woman.
You're becoming a woman. I thought they were becoming a woman.
I'm so jealous.
And then we were like, plug it up. No, okay.
Yeah, I went to the nurse's office like maybe once.
That's it?
Really?
And I remember being like, this is nice. I should come back here.
It's the best.
It's amazing. It's quiet. You get to lay down.
And they turn the lights off so you can lay down.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, granted, if you're next to the kid that's barfing, who smells like barf, there was a couple. But maybe
that sounds much fun.
Maybe schools now, you have your own little divider or something. But
maybe they have like their own like hospital wing.
Yeah,
but divider. I love the nurse too. I can't believe it. That's so great. Yeah, I was best friends with the nurse.
Oh,
I would go there a lot for headaches and stuff. But it was serious.
Well, you know what my favorite day of the year was? When they checked for lice. Because I liked the way it felt on my head. Like I love when people play with my hair. So when they did that pick thing, it felt good. Some people don't like that, but even the littlest caress, I'm like, oh, this is nice.
A little personal attention.
And I was
attention.
Like, I don't think you got it all. Like, I think I might have some lice back here. I really did. I loved lice day. I was like, they're going to comb my hair.
Lice day. Yeah. See, I normally, yeah, that seems fun. Mm-hmm. That sounds great. They do that test in like 6th grade or 7th grade. We have to lean over like when you're wearing like your swimsuit. Like they did it.
What?
The scoliosis test?
Scoliosis check. That
I was like, who's making
creepy.
You lean over your
swimsuit? So I remember we did it during swim class, but it was, and then the girls would all go line up and you'd put your hands together and lean forward and they would just check to see if your shoulders were even. And I didn't know what they were doing. We did this, like, I think I've done it a couple times, but then they took me aside and I was like, why? What happened? And I still didn't even quite connect until I got older that that's how I found out I had scoliosis.
Really?
Because then I just went to the doctor, but I just still didn't understand what scoliosis was. But yeah, they found out at school.
And how old were you?
I think it was 6th grade or 7th. Oh. Yeah, that's when I got my back brace. So yeah, 6th or 7th grade. So that's why they do it.
Swimming was the worst.
I hated it too.
Oh,
I hated it.
I wanted a note for the whole time. I mean, I like swimming, but going to actual class and having to
swim. In front of your schoolmates.
And being in your swimsuit at the most awkward time that your body, like things are happening and changing and you're just
I
like,
know. And I would lie and say I had a headache.
Yeah.
So I would go to the doctor or the nurse and they're like, you don't have a headache. Normally when you have a headache, I can tell. And they're like, you have to go back. And So I went back and I was like, they're like, well, go get your swimsuit. I was like, oh, I left my swimsuit in my locker. Then I walked really slow to my locker. Didn't have a swimsuit. I was just lying because, like, the whole time I just didn't want to have to wear one of the swimsuits they had, which were these hideous green swimsuits that were shorts that were connected to the top.
Ooh,
and
I would have liked
that. Low scooping. Yeah, I guess it's fine, but it wasn't like.
It's the modest gal's bikini.
Yeah, you just, yes. And then they were like, I started swimming again. I got on this new swimsuit and they're like, oh, so you didn't have your swimsuit. You could have just told us and we would have just gotten. I was like, ugh. And then as I'm swimming, like an hour later, right near the end of class, they were like, so how's your head feeling? And I went, what? They totally got
busted.
I hated swimming class because I wore glasses and that was, I didn't have contacts. So it was like, all right, now I'm blind, walking around trying to swim.
Oh my gosh, that was me too. That you're right. That's awesome.
And like, you were walking around trying to swim. That doesn't work.
No, you can't do that.
The dad better joke. I feel like I'm dad joking.
Better than running.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's more jazzercise. My mom used to do pool, what's it called? You do the pool jazzercise? And I would go pool aerobics or water aerobics, they called it. And I would go with her at Harding High School in St. Paul. And we'd wake up early on Sundays and it'd be me and these older ladies. They'd be like, oh, you're so cute. And I was just a kid. And they're like, all right, ladies, move it. Because I guess it's good for your joints and it's easier to exercise in water.
Swimming is so good for people with Marfans because for your joints and stuff. But the hassle of swimming, like going to a place that has like a big enough pool and then swimming and then being covered in chlorine, I can't deal with it. Like my skin breaks out. And the time it takes just before and after, like, to transition, I did it for a couple months But it was like, it just was too, it's too hard.
That's why this podcast has to take off, so you can get your own pool. And Andy can have her own little physical therapy.
I know, we have a pool in our apartment, but we think kids are pooping in it.
Of course they're pooping in it. That's what kids do.
Well, no, not even pooping in it. They poop next to it and then throw their poop into the pool.
I guess that's what we found out on the security camera.
They chuck poop in the pool.
What? How old are these? Are we talking teens or really
young?
Oh,
gosh. I think like 3 or 4.
Yeah, no, like less than 10.
Hopefully. I don't know. Maybe
so. Where are the parents of 3 or 4 year olds chucking their poop in
good
the pool?
Good question. Where were they? I don't know.
I don't care. You. So basically, we need money. You guys send us. We need to get Andy and Alex out of this poop pool situation.
Well, yes. So if anyone wants us to sponsor something, you can pay us and we'll talk about your cool.
We're gonna start a Patreon.
Yeah, we'll start a Patreon.
We deserve it.
We're awesome.
You have to start asking for things, putting things you want in the universe. Cash. Universe. Cash.
A pool.
Hello. I want some...
Just start sending us pills.
Yeah.
send us medicine and health insurance coverage.
Oh, that would be nice.
Or free doctor visits.
Mm-hmm.
Dentist, if anyone's a dentist.
And how. Oh, I would like free Invisalign. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. What kind of doctor would be like the best one to have as a friend?
Ooh. That's a great question.
That you could get like free visits from.
Well, probably a psychiatrist. Well, not a psychiatrist to talk to, but just for like med checks, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, that could help and that couldn't help too, because then it's your friend.
Maybe like heart doctor? Because or a cancer doctor?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I think my cat's stuck in the cupboard over there. She's making noises.
She's so cute.
I would love to be good friends with a dentist. I think that'd be tight.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, to get free dental stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
toothbrushes, floss.
Sure, dentist stuff is expensive.
Yeah. Yes, that's good. So, Alex, I agree with you. I think dentists would be the one. Because you want to say like gyno, and then you're like, awkward.
Gyno was the first one that came into my mind. I wish, that'd be so crazy if your friend was your gyno.
Well, Chell had his... a friend of ours is married to an obstetrician and she's fantastic and wonderful. And Chell asked me, he goes, so if you have a baby, are you going to go see her? And I'm like, no, I respect her, but it's weird to have, I'm sure she's a fantastic doctor. I know for a fact she is, but to have someone I know staring in my lady baby door, I don't know. That's just odd, right?
Yes. No, thank you.
No, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
After all that stuff happens on there, if you do have a baby, I never want to see that person again. I want to pretend it never happened, right? The miracle of life. Okay.
Oh, I love it. All right, so let's see. Did you want to talk about medicine?
Oh, we put that out there on Facebook a couple weeks ago before.
Yeah.
I went on a trip back home to Minnesota. I was noticing that I have just been like gaining weight like crazy, and it was pretty much after they re-diagnosed me and put me on antidepressants. And my previous experience with antidepressants is that it causes weight gain. And I thought maybe this time it wouldn't. They put me on Lexapro, and unfortunately, it did. And that's one thing about antidepressants that I'll never understand the side effects, why you would pick. You're already dealing with people who are to a point where they have to take medicine to feel good about depression and things like that. Now we're going to add on like, hey, I know you're really down. I know you might be a little suicidal. Got it. But we're going to also just throw on a quick 20 pounds. So none of your clothes fit. You don't recognize yourself in the mirror. And I started hiking and doing all these things to try to like counteract it thinking. But I feel like nothing could stop it.
And it's just because it's biological, and people don't think, they think weight gain is all diet or all exercise, but no, it's biological.
Well, and whatever is in, whatever the side effect, however, I don't know how that works, but there's two main, so when I put this question out there, like, are people on any kind of antidepressants that don't cause weight gain? Because that's one of the things that it might sound, and it's not even saying it in a superficial way, I mean, part of it is superficial. None of us want to just put on weight. I mean, it's harder when you carry more weight or your clothes don't fit, things like that. But it also, health-wise too. I don't know. I don't understand why that has to be one of the side effects. And then this other side effect that is common is the effects it has on your libido. So it like fixes you from the neck up, but then from like the waist down, it's like, okay, you're dead now. Like, we're going to close this section down for business. No fun. But your head's going to be okay. You're not going to cry as much, but you're definitely not going to want to do it.
Yeah. Or like, hey, this heart medicine, you can, your heart beats, but you're, or like, yeah, but it beats better. But now you bleed all the time.
Oh, like, my God. Like every, it does?
Well, that's just what my heart medicine, that's why I'm on blood thinner, why I get bloody noses and bruise easily. And oh, you're at risk at like, if you don't keep it monitored, you risk of stroke and heart attack and all that. But that's why I'm on it. But yeah, you're, it's just all medicines. It's like, why?
And what happened to just good old fashioned diarrhea? I would love a little diarrhea. I don't need to gain weight or not want to have sex. I just want a little poop. You know, it's the big deal.
I've been drinking expired milk the last couple days.
Shut up. Why are you doing
on
that?
On accident?
No, on purpose. Well, just a little bit of my coffee. Because I feel like a little bit's not going to hurt. But yeah, it's affecting my stool.
Oh, well, you might have to go to the bathroom today really bad.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
Because I want to feel something.
Oh my. He just wants to feel. I understand.
You just want
to
feel alive. You did say pooping in the woods is when you feel the most alive.
And you regularly poop in the woods?
Well, I have pooped. Not regularly, obviously.
Like on a camping trip, are we talking? Or just you drove by the woods, pulled over, and
there's
dropped
a nice,
alone?
There's a nice
section of
woods.
P.S. I hope no one's eating while listening to this part of our podcast. But
sorry.
Everybody poops, and you got to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So you're a public pooper? Is that what you'd call someone like you?
Well, I mean, when I've gone deer hunting and like camping and stuff, out in the woods.
You'll poop around animals.
You find a good tree to lean on.
Only when camping. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you dig your own latrine?
No. Well, I bury it with leaves.
With leaves.
Okay. So you're able to just pull it down and just.
It's actually like some of my best poops have been out in the woods.
Oh my gosh, Alex.
Now, is it. The squatting of it.
I suck at squatting.
Yeah.
It's the most natural, like, hey, I'm in the wilderness.
No,
like,
but this
not
is,
if you're
doing
spine
squats
is
to get.
Oh, yeah.
Enough.
It helps the thighs a little bit.
I do the thing where you like are like a crab and you just have your hands behind you and you just like, flat out just.
And he's about to fall into
fall back. That's how I do it.
Don't fall into your fecal, girl.
Yeah, don't crab walk into it. Your hands.
I used to really enjoy. Going to the bathroom and going to pee outside. Like if we were camping, I'd be like, big deal, I could pop a squat. I don't know if that was a thing, a Midwest
camping.
Thing, but people would be like, I'm going to go pop a squat. But then I started popping squats when I wasn't sober and I would be drunk. I remember bragging like I'm so good at it. And one time I was wearing bibs, like overalls, and I just peed all over them and just let them dangle. As I thought I was, I wanted to be one of them classy girls that just pop squats. The first time I took Chell camping, he had never been camping, and it was our first camping trip together and his first camping trip ever. And I popped a squat in front of him to, I don't know if I was showing my dominance or if I was trying
showing your dominance.
Well, it's marking your territory.
I was marking
exactly
my territory.
What that is.
Exactly.
And then you guys got married.
And then we ended up getting married. So it worked. I marked my territory on him.
Got it. All right. So. We've talked about poop. We've talked about pee.
We talked about depression meds and gaining weight and the side effects, which are so frustrating. And what we got through that comment thread on Facebook was a lot of people feel this way. Mm-hmm. And I think that is
so
the hardest
hard.
Thing to see that we all, you have to pick whether you want to, and sometimes you can't even pick because there's a lot of people that can't not be on medication. And I don't yet know if I'm one of those people because I was on bipolar medication and anxiety medication for so long. Or bipolar medication when I needed anxiety and depression medication for so long that now I'm trying to figure out like what to do. But a lot of people recommended Wellbutrin. They said that was one that didn't cause weight gain in them. Some people said Prozac, and then they also listed ones that were notorious for causing the weight gain.
So then you just need to talk with your therapist to kind of figure out.
So now I have to talk to a psychiatrist.
Or a psychiatrist and any other doctors you have to worry about. Talking with, because I think for mine, like maybe like I had to check with like heart medications and things like that to make sure it didn't.
I think if I was on other medication,
then maybe would.
I would have to, but I mean, it never hurts to talk to a primary care doctor, and I definitely should get an appointment just to do that. But I'd be interested to know. Right now, it's been like 2 or 3 weeks without anything, and this is the first time since I was probably 28.
Wow,
that I've
without
been
taking
without. Anything, whether it was bipolar meds or antidepressants. I mean, when they put me on antidepressants, the first time they put me on antidepressants, I was 17. And I'm like, all right, let's slow down. Wow. I think every 17-year-old is. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I went in and they just handed me Zoloft. And I'm like, could someone just listen to me? I'm just going through a hard time right now. I'm 17. Everything is a hard time. But, I did not care for Zoloft at all, and it caused weight gain, and I didn't like that. And then they put me on another antidepressant, I think, when I was around like 20 or so. And I stopped taking those because it was the same thing. I would feel kind of sick to my stomach. Also, at the time, I was drinking. I was in college. I was partying. So when you drink on an antidepressant, it's not a good thing. You're like double downer, you know, and it can make you sick. And it, if you think about it, it's canceling it out because you're putting this downer into your body. So I'm like college, mm-hmm. you know, I shouldn't say college binge drinking because I don't think that – that should be, but in America, where there's some.
I think people can relate to like they didn't really drink before. You get to college and there's parties every week.
I mean, I drank before and I drank after, so I should just say binge drinking.
Yeah,
and that's the kind of drinking that I developed into pretty early on. But yeah, it's
How are you feeling now? The last few weeks, are you? Because I know it's scary that if you go off your medicine, you like higher risk of suicide and. I think that's like the main.
Yeah, that's why they never want you to do what I'm doing, which is go off cold turkey, because you don't know how your body's going to react and you don't know how, you know, your mental state's going to be. So I don't know. I can't tell yet. When I keep myself busy, it's harder to tell. But today was definitely a harder day. Like before you guys came over to record, I was like crying, like having one of those kind of depression moments where it feels like a blanket, like a cloud.
And was that when you were on the medicine, did you not feel that as often, or maybe not even?
No, you still see, when I was on that medication, I guess I don't think I was feeling that as often at all. No, because when they gave me Lexapro, and that was, what was that, back in March or earlier than that? Yeah, maybe February.
It's so tricky, but it's good that you're seeing your doctor and keeping up on it, because I know it's like we had a family friend who went off their medicine and attempted suicide. Yeah. Like it's really, really scary.
Well, I know my doctor's not going to be happy with me that I just went off it, but I literally got to the point where I was so mad that nothing fit and my body just felt yucky, but my head was feeling okay. But it's weird, these side effects.
You have to tell your doctor.
I know, but I have this like anxiety. Fear and anxiety of.
You should tell them.
Because I feel like he's going to look at me and go, you're a grown woman. Like, that's not smart to do.
I think what you're dealing with is common. I feel like people would feel that way. And I don't think that your doctor's going to judge you.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good to tell them.
I'm going to have to tell him. I just haven't yet.
Sooner rather than later, Jolene.
In my brain, I'm like, maybe I just don't need anything. You know?
And maybe not, but you can keep your doctor in the loop because that's what they're paid to do.
I know.
If they're disappointed in you, that's fine. You're paying them.
Yeah. I don't want to pay for disappointment. I have enough of that.
So listeners out there, follow up on Jolene. Make sure that you talk to her doctor. Send her a message.
Send her love.
Oh, Alex, I'm coming for you then. I'm coming for you next.
Well, yeah, let's transition to that. Alex, we wanted to talk to you. You've never been to a therapist.
All right, I got
to
go. Podcast over.
Oh, hey! He's got to go poop outside.
That's true. I've never seen a therapist.
And we wanted to talk. This is something me and Jolene talk about and a lot of people in my life, how we've gone to therapy and we know how much it helped us. And there are people in our lives who have never done it and maybe kind of want to, or maybe even think they shouldn't. So we wanted to find maybe someone, maybe Alex, my husband, to talk to him before, like what his fears are, so people can connect to him, like why, if people have the same fears or just the same concerns, and then he can go, we'll help him find a therapist, he can find someone, and then we can do a checkup after.
Because you have mental health benefits, right?
Yeah, he's on Medi-Cal.
Yeah, Medi-Cal.
So I think that's...
And you have been talking about it for a while. I would say almost a year. You brought it up in conversation.
Yeah, and I've had friends, like back when we lived in Minnesota, like 4 years ago, talk about it, and being like, yeah, I'm one of the few people that I know that haven't gone, even though I know what it is. Like, I've watched Sopranos. I know what it's like.
That's how it is?
I know what it's like to be a mob boss. And then
it's
talk
to
a
very interesting appointment for you.
Is that what he thinks it is, a Soprano?
I'm just worried that my therapist is going to hit on me.
Yeah. Well, that's always the worry in your life, right?
Just like Sopranos.
All right. So, Alex, what are some of the concerns that you've had about going to a therapist? Like, why haven't you gone to one?
I feel like I feel like I know what a lot of my problems are. But
what are they?
I mean, but I don't know what the answers are to fulfill them. Like, somebody brought up something like that you're afraid to do something until you feel like you're perfect at it. And I feel like that's, I connect with that, where I'm afraid to jump into a new ring, a new like endeavor until I feel like I'm really good at, like whether it's playing guitar. Like I don't.
So that's something you think a therapist could help with?
That could help talk to me about and like make it a real in my head. I don't know what I'm trying to think of, but like to not be fearful of making mistakes in a way. Mm-hmm. And because I feel like with growing up, you make a mistake, like that's wrong. You did it bad. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be doing it bad. You're gonna embarrass your family. You're gonna make mm-hmm. people around you be like, oh, why are we hanging out with him? He's not good at that. Who does he think he is? He's detached from reality. That's another one, being detached from reality.
Well, like, what are you?
You feel detached from reality?
Well, I feel like there's that point where you're like, oh, I thought I understood all this, but I'm not even close to what the real, like being delusional with your skill level. Like, oh, I actually think I'm really good at podcasting. But then it turns out, no, you're horrible at it.
So your anxiety is that you feel like you might be delusional?
Yeah, in a way.
Well, there's the fraud. People feel like they're a fraud. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of women deal with that. I can't remember what it's called. But they get a promotion and they feel like they don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. And
I feel like that sometimes with comedy when I would get a laugh and I'd be like, really? You guys thought I was funny? You thought mm-hmm. that was funny? Like, I tricked you. And it's so weird to be like, that's what you're kind of supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a constant.
But what are some fears you might have about going to see a therapist?
I don't know. Just
you can be like, totally honest. It's just you, me, Andy, and all of the listeners.
I know. So I guess we're kind of putting you on the spot. So if you don't want to.
Well, my fear is being vulnerable and opening mm-hmm. up with something where it's like, oh, that came out of left field. And now here's another thing I need to worry about.
So you're afraid that going to the therapist, you'll find all these things you need to worry about that you haven't been worrying about.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the point, isn't it?
Well,
yeah.
The scary part is, I totally get it, is once you go to therapy, like all these things start opening up and all these things you didn't know, and now you got to do work. And so that's the thing about therapy, too. It's like you have to put in the work. Mm-hmm.
I like being guided into. I'm cool with work as long as they guide me. Like, this is the right path. That's the wrong path. Okay, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go down this path. But as far as like, I mean,
therapy is an unknown. You don't know what it's gonna.
The
be
stereotypical
like.
Thing of like, oh, I'm gonna go there and they're just gonna turn it into, oh, he's gay. Like that's like the thing.
Stereotypically,
what? That's a the comedic thing is like.
What?
I don't want to go to
maybe
therapy because they're gonna.
Maybe you should go.
What just happened? What just happened?
I don't know. My husband might be gay. So
your friend is gonna tell you you're gay.
No. That was a joke. I know I'm not gay. I've tried. It doesn't. It's okay. Not fun.
It didn't work.
But you know what? Maybe there, like, this is like, it's good to talk to you because maybe there are people who are afraid to go because they're afraid that they'll find something about themselves that they didn't want
and
to know.
That's a great point. People feel that way. And that's why a lot of couples don't go to therapy either, because they're afraid mm-hmm. that the therapist is going to side with one or the other or point out something and say, you're a bad person. But I've been to tons of therapists and none of them have ever said, you're a bad person, and really have never labeled me before at all. It's kind of, we come to these. Not epiphanies, but discoveries. It's like a constant discovery of yourself. I don't think anyone wants to quickly label you.
No, that's
Alex.
That's a good point. I don't feel like I want to be labeled. I want to be an individual who does his own thing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like, well, you're a lot like this kind of person, and you're a lot like this kind of person. But it's like, I'm Alex. Like, I'm
Alex.
I want to be me.
I'm Alex. I poop in the woods. Am I gay?
And
not that there's anything wrong with being gay. Like, that has nothing to do with
it.
It was a joke.
We all know that there was no. Yeah. It just was an interesting, of all the things the therapist could say that you were worried about.
But have you heard that stereotype, that joke of like
never.
People are afraid
to
go to...
No, you're thinking of that movie we just watched.
No,
that's why I was like, what is this?
Analyze this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to go. He's like, don't do any gay stuff. Like, he was like, that was the thing, because it was maybe deemed as feminine, like saving, going to a therapist is.
Oh yeah, it is.
Saving Silverman, they did that too.
Being touched in touch with your emotions, people like I see this more in men being afraid to see therapists, but I don't know the statistics. I know there are lots of men who see therapists and lots of women, and there's both who don't. But that might be something just being afraid of connecting to your emotions.
Yeah, and I think because we talked about that in a previous episode, I think our episode that we did with Meredith mm-hmm. was that women, the one thing that we do get is we are allowed to have our emotions. Mm-hmm. And guys, I think more are conditioned to like push, yeah. especially the area we grew up in. Mm-hmm. You grew up in the Midwest and in Minnesota and in a smaller town. It's like, you know, a boys don't cry. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just back home and I heard someone say to my niece, "Hey, Lucy, big girls don't cry." And I'm like, "Oh, no. Once we got into the car, I was like, "No, Lucy, big girls cry, big boys cry, everybody cries."
That's
like, crying
amazing.
Is good.
Yeah.
You
I
should
love that.
Cry. Like, I don't want you to ever push down your feelings. I mean, she's three, so she's looking at me like, "What, Joeyne? Can we have M's?" But yeah, I just, that whole like, no, you got to kind of chin up, you know, buck mm-hmm. up. It's like, no, that's what gets you us don't. In trouble. And that's why we're all in fucking therapy because no one let us cry or have a feeling.
Well, yeah, when we were a kid, it was, "Why are you crying? Are you hurt? Then you shouldn't be crying. Mm-hmm. If you're in physical pain, you were allowed
Or how about
to
this?
Cry.
I'll give you something to cry about.
Yes! I'll give you something to cry about.
That's horrible. I already have something. Why would you want to give me more? But yeah, that was like a physical... It's like unless you're in physical pain, mm-hmm. you shouldn't be crying.
And crying is fun.
Yeah, I cried. Like I said, I cried before you guys came over. I just had to.
Yeah, I think I was... Well, when you were telling some of your stories that you were dealing with, I was crying, like tearing up. It's like...
Yeah.
I was in a little mood yesterday. I kind of teared... I teared up a little
Let's
bit
talk about
yesterday.
It. In a mood. When was that?
When I was doing my power dishes.
Oh, well, we had... Yeah, we What's got into an dish? Argument. So then he went and did the dishes to get off some steam.
Dude, that I would always argue with you.
Andy came over and like gave me a hug and like made me feel so much better. And I'm like, "You should walk away from me right now because I'm kicking ass on these dishes." Let me do these power dishes right now.
I know. And I had to be like, "I came over here."
But I feel like there's part of my life that used to be like physical labor kind of. Like you do a lot of things with your hands, whether it's baseball, sports, or like a job. Mm-hmm. I don't really do that much anymore. So sometimes it's like, oh, it's good to just fucking do something with your hands, you know?
Well, and
That's therapy in itself.
It is
therapy in itself because I had a therapist tell me that if I could just like go outside and just like, because I have a thing where I'll get so much stuff, I'll just literally want to throw something. And sometimes they'll be like, "Scream into a pillow or hit a pillow or, you know, go outside and like mm-hmm. throw a ball or something."
Yeah.
Because there is this, and it doesn't mean we're weird or too aggressive or anything, but there is this thing in us where you just got to get that energy mm-hmm. out.
I think it's similar to like cats being domesticated. Like we're all kind of indoor cats, but we all have that ability to live outside and mm-hmm. fend for ourselves. And every once in a while, you got to kind of just fucking go for a jog or run or.
Yeah. That's why exercise is so important. Yes. Even if you're doing, like my psychiatrist said, like 10 minutes here and there. If you can do that three times a day, some kind of where you're just moving.
That's great.
Yeah, if you can do just 10 minutes of any form of exercise, whether it's walking or just moving your body, and then come back and do 10 more minutes, because it's not easy for everybody to go, "Hey, I'm going to do cardio for an hour." And sometimes that's not always the best for you. You got to find something that you want to do and that mm-hmm. helps get you moving.
I'm totally on board with that. I like to move around and dance. Dance like a horse.
Did you dance in your audition today?
Yeah,
like a horse?
I texted my manager. I was like, "It went well. The audition went well, but I might have danced like a horse a little too much." And he was like, "Don't ever change." And I was like, "Okay, cool."
You text Alex that?
I texted my manager. Oh, your manager. Alex is with me, and then I posted about it on Facebook. And then I was like, and then after the audition was done, the assistant was like, "All right, dance on out of here." She brought it up, and I just remembered that after. So I just galloped like a horse.
And that is probably your thing that you have, you know, like seriously, like dancing,
gallop around for exercise,
yes,
be a unicorn for exercise.
Because they had,
I'm on board.
They have someone who was doing like prancing.
Yes, like, she did the prancing mm-hmm. with like
so you
weights.
Can do galloping. Now.
Heck yeah, anyone, you can do whatever you want. You just gotta wiggle around mm-hmm. for a little bit.
I also heard that, and I know this is hard to do, especially if you're in a bad mood, but just smiling.
Oh.
Will just increase your mood, even if you look so weird.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting at your desk and you're like, "I hate my life," but you're smiling while you say it. Like,
I love it.
Even right now, smiling, it's like, "Oh, it feels good." Sometimes I'll do that while I'm crying. Smile, cry.
See, I don't need therapy. Fun? I'm good.
I'm fine.
Oh, you guys look so pretty.
Okay, back to me now.
Yeah.
Okay, so Alex.
Yes.
We're going to help you find a therapist. Jolene, do you know? I don't even know.
Okay, so we you can go on like wonderful baseball. Sites like I think like Psychiatry Today. How I found my
How'd you find yours?
Therapist is I went through and there was an index of, and I think it was Psychiatry Today or something. We'll have to post a link in the podcast notes because they had this wonderful list of psychiatrists and it had all their contact information and it gave a brief background and what they specialize in and what kind of therapy they do because there's different kinds. And I actually found a really good one just from that list. And so, if you go to Psychology Today,
okay.
You can search your area and you can find a psychiatrist near me and psychiatrist, therapist, you know, because
and then you just kind of read through the bios or pick.
Yep, and call
and call.
And you just really when you talk to a therapist, if you get a good feeling off the bat, like it's someone you're going to talk to. So if they're rude or dismissive or whatever right away, you don't have to make the appointment.
So you can call and talk to the therapist, or would it be like an assistant? Can you actually talk?
It depends.
Okay.
But there are a lot of therapists who will talk to you and who answer their own phones because they're on call for their own patients.
Okay.
So if their patients are having, you know, some issues outside of the hours that they see them, they want to be available. So a good therapist will talk to you beforehand or at least put you in touch with their assistant who knows everything you need to know. But it is kind of like dating. You have to find someone you're comfortable with and you have to keep an open mind.
So it might not work or be the right fit. And I think also we wanted you to see a therapist. I think the first visit, at least with me, was just them gathering information and getting to know me. We didn't like dive into anything. So you might actually need to do two visits before.
Okay. So this could be like an ongoing thing with me.
Yeah. We'll just kind of check in and see how it goes. If it comes down, he doesn't want to talk about it. Well, that's fine too. We could just see as much as you want to talk about.
I think I know a therapist that you would like because I know a couple in the area.
Perfect. I think it makes sense to get a recommendation from a friend. I've heard of people doing that. Mm-hmm. And I need a new one too. I haven't had a therapist.
And this person doesn't talk to me, so they wouldn't. And they can't say anything. They can't tell you anything.
By law?
By law.
By law.
By law, sir. You can share all the secret pooping stories you got.
Yeah. So if any listeners right now, if you're thinking of finding a therapist and maybe haven't, you can reach out to us and let us know your journey. Mm-hmm. Just if you want support or just to share, maybe you've connected with Alex or...
Maybe you could just share your story.
Share your stories. Mm-hmm. How it helped you or if you...
Good or bad.
If anyone has bad therapy experiences, you hear about it a lot. It takes a while to find someone you connect with.
Yeah, and there's times, I think, when you're dealing with a doctor, there's a sense of, like, intimidation sometimes that might come over people where you might not make the best choices for yourself because you feel like, well, it's a doctor. I guess I just have to put up with this. That's why a lot of people don't get second opinions because that happened even
when, that happens all the time.
Even with my mom, she was going to have knee surgery, and I went to the doctor with her, and she wasn't totally keen on the surgeon and the office she was going to be going in with. And I went with her and I go, no, these people aren't operating you. They lack any and all empathy. This woman is horrible.
I'm so glad you were
and
there.
And I went online and looked her up and she had the worst ratings and reviews and people went out of their way. Her bedside manner was horrible. And
that's a good point. You can look up doctors,
was
right?
So conditioned and trained, which a lot of us are, I think, to just believe, well, it's a doctor. I just have to do it. No, you can feel comfortable with a doctor. And
yeah, so that's a good point. So be communicating with us if you – or because I don't – it's maybe different. You can't really like bring a friend into the therapy.
You can.
Oh, well,
my husband came with me into the new psychiatrist I saw because I was scared. And I was also afraid that I wasn't going to tell the truth. Because I kind of was at a point where I just was saying whatever during like everything's fine because I didn't want to deal with any new medication. Mm-hmm. And so I brought my husband and he was like, if you're comfortable with that, so Andy could easily go in with you. And then if there's things you don't want to talk about in front of Andy, they're not going to. But just to kind of get to know you, they'd probably ask Andy a couple questions and ask you and then why you're there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a little worried, I'll be honest.
It's
an unknown. It's a new thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm proud of you.
But I'm excited. Thank you, guys. I'm proud of me, too.
You know what?
I've done so much.
It can never hurt to go out there and discover more about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? I agree. The fears, it's good. It's good to be vulnerable. I'm just read a self-help book called Daring Greatly, and it's all about vulnerability. And being vulnerable is how
being
you grow.
Being vulnerable is very difficult, and it's very important, especially in relationships, too. And it'll help you be able to be, I don't know how vulnerable you guys are with each other, but probably just enough, right? It sounds like sexy, but it's vulnerability. You're actually your vulnerability is so sexy. Oh yeah. Maybe they'll give you some cool drugs, you never know.
All right, nosebleeds, here we go.
All right, we get nosebleeds, we covered medication, kombucha.
Gaining weight from depression medication. Also, if anyone has any tips to lose weight you've gained, and I don't like fast fad diets, but like wonderful superfoods or things that work for you if you were on an antidepressant and you gained some weight, because Lord knows my genes want me back, and I want them back.
All right, so I asked about kombucha today on Facebook. I'll just read off what some people said. Some said probiotics, so it's like yogurt, but without the dairy. Not medicine, but can have health benefits that way. Someone said, why are you drinking moldy tea?
Ooh, judgment.
Why is this a fad still? And then another person said, all I know is that whatever it does doesn't work unless you tell people you drink it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Moldy I love tea. It too. They go, also, I'm not a doctor. And then someone says, it's good for digestion, restores the flora in your guts. Which is, that's what we kind of gathered. And then a lot of people are just saying how much they love it. Like Amber Preston says she loves it. She loves, loves, loves the farmhouse gut shots. The garlic and dill.
Gut shots?
Like, the garlic and dill taste like magic pickle juice. And another friend says she loves it. It makes you feel good inside. So, yeah, my friends, I love it. Started drinking it 4 years ago. My trainer at the time suggested it. They've got hella breweries in Bellingham where I used to live. So people love it. You know what? It was interesting. I'm just going to see how I feel. It's very expensive, but it's. Mm-hmm. I'm down to trying something. Maybe I'll be cured after this.
Yeah. Well, we did ask on Instagram what was their favorite antidepressant? And also, what do they recommend? And what's your experience been to comment? And we got a couple comments. One person said Prozac was an exclamation point.
Okay.
And then I heard Zoloft works for me. Wellbutrin was terrible, though. That just goes to show it depends on the person. Because some different. People were saying, Wellbutrin. I've been on Zoloft. I hated Zoloft. So it's really, that's the most frustrating part, mm-hmm. I think, about depression and being on medication is having to go on that journey, which one works for you, and then deal with all the side effects. I was just talking to a friend about that the other night, and she said, I almost just don't want to do it because I don't want to deal with the side effects again.
It's scary. It's mm-hmm. like because you're putting chemicals into your body. Mm-hmm. But it's like I think it's definitely good that there's at least medicines to try. It sounds like there's a few different ones. It doesn't sound like it's going to be fun to try different ones out. I know I'm taking one called propranolol for anxiety, and I just take it as needed. And it's for when people who like when they get like if they're doing like a presentation or something, if they get stage anxiety. And I take it very low dose.
What does it do?
I think it just lowers my heart rate or it stabilizes it.
Oh, got it.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a heart medication that doesn't, honestly, the dose is so small. People I talked to said it might even be more in my placebo.
Placebo. Oh, placebo.
It might be placebo. But I was scared about taking it. But I've taken it a couple times and it did. It did help me not be so stressed out. Before it was when I was on Last Comic Standing, I was taking it.
Yeah, and you'd have to watch your heartbeat on that.
Yes. So yeah, I mean, the medicine's I'm glad we had time to talk about this today. I know something you really wanted to talk about, Jolene. And yeah, definitely keep sending us comments, thoughts, questions. We're not doctors, but we have experience we want to share and talk and share with all you guys. So thank you for sharing, and thank you, Alex, for agreeing to do the therapy challenge.
Yay,
we're so excited.
It is. It's a therapy challenge. And there maybe we could make this a thing. Hashtag therapy challenge.
I love it. Come on. Go.
We have to add deal with it pod. Hashtag therapy. But I'm excited to see your journey, Alex. Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to do the Jesse Ventura voice the whole time.
Oh,
they're
going to
be like, well, split personality. Get out of here. Here's some drugs. Bye.
Well, right. We'll have to. We'll
just
follow.
Don't poop in the office. That's all we
that's
have
the
to do.
But there's so many trees in here.
So many trees.
Right, I gotta go move my car.
Okay, yeah. You all right? Oh, right. We gotta head out. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Andy Erickson. You can find me at Andy Erickson on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook.
Yep. Deal with the podcast. You can also follow us on Instagram. Deal with the podcast.
Subscribe in iTunes.
Yeah, subscribe like to our email list and we'll send you fun emails and little surprises here and there.
Yep. Go to our website. Subscribe via email. Follow Jolene.
Oh, on Instagram, you can follow me, Pale Girl, Girl with a U, or find me on Facebook, Pale Girl Comedy.
Follow Alex Stein.
Instagram, This Alex Stein, and The Alex Stein Podcast.
Woo-woo. Heck yeah.
Thank you guys for listening.
There's a G.
jinxer. You owe me a Coke.
Ooh. Ooh, you owe me a kombucha. All right.
I'll have some of that kombucha.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Love you.